and welcome to this week's edition of An Organic Conversation, a show about food, ecology, stories from the land, recipes, sustainability, interconnectedness, relationships, and life itself. We're your hosts, Helge Hellberg,
Mark Mulcahy,
and Sitarani Palomar.
Our skin is our largest organ, and whatever we put onto our face or body can be measured within minutes in our bloodstream. Just as organic food, organic skincare is essential for optimal health. And yet, skincare cannot be organically certified, despite many health claims that we may find on some products. We are shedding light on the world of healthy skincare and cosmetic products in this hour with an expert in the field today here on An Organic Conversation.
Yeah, this show is of great interest to me because, you know, all my life I've never liked putting anything on my skin. It's like creams and lotions and any of that kind of stuff. It always made me feel like my skin couldn't breathe. And
well, actually, I beg to differ. 2 years ago, do you remember? We were at a trade show somewhere in Anaheim in Los Angeles, and we stopped by a booth and we got a facial, and you were actually high for 4 days. So
was that from the facial?
Yeah. Oh. And my presence, my company. But no, yes, it's great to look into that world.
I did like it.
I'm
not saying I didn't enjoy that. That was a unique experience for me. But in general, that's been the case. Maybe a little aloe vera every now and then, but mostly it's been not.
You know, I'm kind of the opposite. The reason I'm so excited about this show is because I love putting things on my skin. And mm-hmm. I always have since I was, you know, an adolescent. I would get into, you know, lotions and cosmetics and specialty skincare products and anything that helped to, I don't know, enhance beauty as I was learning about that at that age. But what I don't like about it is when it irritates my skin. And I've spent quite a lot of time trying to figure out what ingredients do that. What ingredients prevent that, and how it differs for each person's bioindividuality. So I think the guest we have on today, who is so knowledgeable in all those ingredients, also understands that some things work for certain conditions and some don't, and that's going to be a really enlightening thing for listeners to hear.
Yeah, and Mark, if you put something on your skin where you feel your skin can't breathe, I just learned that some skincare products actually have plastics in them. And that can, you know, create that kind of totally clogged up feeling. But we'll learn all about that in this hour here on An Organic Conversation.
But first, here's the green headlines with Jen Lloyd.
Thank you, Mark. The 2012 Olympics goes green. The London 2012 Olympics are said to have been the most ecologically sustainable Olympics, according to a report by the World Wildlife Fund and Bioregional. For Olympic organizers, sustainability was a major focus during the planning phases, transforming the Olympic Park from a contaminated industrial area filled with toxins to an urban wildlife refuge. Officials planted 2,000 native trees, 3,000 wetland plants, and restored 5 miles of the River Lee. Restoring over 110 acres of land, the project hopes to create new habitats to encourage the return of wildlife. The park is one of many projects that set a new sustainability standard for future games. Man rescues 80-year-old lobster from restaurant menu. Don McKenzie of Connecticut purchased a 17-pound 80-year-old lobster at a Waterford restaurant last month, not to enjoy for dinner, but to set it free. McKenzie released the lobster, nicknamed by locals Lucky Larry, at a secret location in the Long Island Sound, making it nearly impossible for fishermen to find him again. McKenzie, vice president of a boating business, said, "This lobster has seen World War I, World War II, seen the landing on the moon, and the Red Sox win the World Series. He's made it this far in life. He deserves to live." The town gave lobster Lucky Larry a proper send-off, chanting, "Let Larry live," as the boat departed for his release. Protesters shut down West Virginia Mine. A group of activists against mountaintop removal mining shut down operations at the controversial Hobet Mine in West Virginia through a series of coordinated lockdowns, tree sits, and banner drops. The nonviolent protest was organized by a local grassroots anti-coal group, RAMPS, or the Radical Action for Mountain People's Survival, criticizing the Obama administration for insufficient regulatory policies and endangering the health and safety of people in Appalachia. The protesters were able to shut down the mine for roughly 3 hours before 20 activists were arrested on site. It is said that toxic mining has led to a rise in black lung disease, birth defects, and cancer by contaminating the water and air. Meanwhile, anti-nuclear protesters surround Japan's parliament. Tens of thousands of activists formed a human chain around Japan's parliament, protesting against nuclear power late last month. The rally is the latest of a series of protests which have been on the rise since Prime Minister Yoshihiko Noda ordered the restart of two reactors in June. A local man stated that he had not seen such massive demonstrations since the 1960s, and that while ordinarily Japanese do not demonstrate, they are outraged over the restarting of nuclear power plants. The Prime Minister defended his decision to restart the two reactors and plans to open more throughout the year. And those are the green headlines. Back to you, Helga.
Thank you, Jen. That's Jen Lloyd with that weekly update of what's going on in the world of green living and sustainability. Oh, I love that lobster story. It strikes such a chord in me because I remember as a child walking into restaurants in Germany where they feature a big, you know, freshwater basin with trout or carp, and you can literally pick the fish you want to eat. And I always felt if I had enough money one day, I would just buy the entire thing and just all set them free. I was, you know, I loved watching fish and being in nature and seeing them in a small aquarium and then to be eaten. I thought if they could just be released, I love that. An 80-year-old lobster.
Well, and I think that topic brings up kind of the zoo conversation, which we've all had before too, which is, you know, some people think that it's a great way for kids to learn to love animals. But I say kids are born loving animals. They inherently know that animals are our friends and to see them in captivity. Mark, you had a really interesting story about that.
Well, I remember when my daughters were growing up is that I told them that I did not want to take them to the zoo or to any of the animal parks because I didn't care for how the animals were treated, and I didn't think that that would be the best way for them to see these animals in captivity. And when they finally did go on their own or with their grandparents or something like that, they generally came home and echoed the same sentiment, not just to please me, but just because they realized that they didn't feel that it was something that they wanted to support.
Yeah, I just went to the Academy of Science here in San Francisco, and I love the building. I love what they do. I love the exhibits for almost all of them. And yet there's a new exhibit with 10 penguins, and the penguins are so sad and frustrated and kind of like just standing there, not playing, engaging with each other. It's a sad sight.
Well, they don't have a real sky to look at. It's like this painted ceiling.
Yeah, not right.
Well, I think it's people are thinking of what the best efforts. The Academy of Science does an amazing job on a lot of things, and you want to support that. But I completely agree. And you know what? I think Larry had to wait around almost 80 years because it just took the Red Sox so long to win the darn World Series, right?
Yes, that was funny, that comment. He also saw the San Francisco Giants win and, of course, the Cardinals last year. Anyway, good for you, Larry. Swim free. You're listening to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helge Helberg.
I'm Mark Bouquet.
And I'm Sita Rani Palomar.
And coming up is our conversation about healthy skin with Sally Malanga, skincare and cosmetic expert and the founder of Ecobella, an all-natural skincare and cosmetic company. Only here on An Organic Conversation. That and more when we come back. Stay tuned. And we are back here to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helge Helberg.
I'm Mark Wilkie.
And I'm Sita Rani Palomar.
Our topic today is the secret of healthy skin, peeling away layers of misinformation. It's a confusing industry with lots of health claims and promises and questionable ingredients. I'm not talking about food, but about skincare and cosmetics. We are what we eat, and we are what we put onto our face and bodies. With skin as our largest organ, everything we use in regard to skincare and cosmetics can be measured in our bodies within minutes. Yet, navigating the world of skincare and cosmetics products can be a very daunting and confusing task. The Secrets of Healthy Skin, Peeling Away Layers of Misinformation is our topic today. And we are speaking in this hour with an expert in the field who, after seeing compromises being made left and right over and over again, started her own skincare company. With us now, calling from West Orange, New Jersey, is Sally Malanga, founder of Echo Bella. Sally, are you with us?
I am indeed with you. I'm actually at the New Jersey shore. I have a beautiful picture window of the river, and I am staying at my parents' house because they have maintained my childhood room forever, so I always have a place to go home to.
Oh, wonderful.
But I cannot guarantee that my father will not stomp up these stairs where I am sitting here doing this radio interview.
That's...
and demand to know where I want to go for dinner.
Yes. Well, yes.
And by the way, if he does do that, I will give him a suggestion of the healthiest place where they have big salads and, of course, great food for the skin. And he will say, absolutely not. Not that place.
Well, say hello anyway, and thanks for keeping that room for you open to be able to join us in this hour as we are exploring the world of skincare products.
So, Sally, I would say just about every adult in America, and probably in the entire world, but let's just stick with America for now, just about everybody puts something on their skin, whether it's lotion or sunscreen or anti-aging products, anti-acne products, or even shampoo. I mean, it makes it onto our skin, and most people don't have any idea what's in those products or how those products work or don't work for them. Can you tell us what do people need to know about the ingredients they're putting on their skin?
Well, as a formulator and a founder of a beauty company, I can tell you for sure that in order for people to really know something about these ingredients, they have to want to know what goes into a product. And I think most people wouldn't know how to read an ingredient label because it is very confusing. And when they step into a store, be it a health food store or a chain drug or a department store, they are faced with a wall of products. And frankly, to read every single label on every single product is daunting for consumers.
Well, and Sally, so, even to know what those, even if you did
absolutely.
Read the label,
mm-hmm.
right?
I mean, there are names on labels where you think this can't be good, and it's actually just the, you know, Latin name or the industry name for something that is actually not harmful, whereas other ingredients that you don't think sound that scary are really detrimental for you. So in that regard, what are the most often used, what are the most five most harmful ingredients to watch out for? If you had to give somebody a quick advice of what's the golden rule when it comes to skincare?
Right. Well, I'll throw you a little bit of a curveball and say when you're buying skincare products, water is one of the first ingredients that's in a product. It's not harmful, obviously, but this is really what most of these products consist of. You know, could be 50, 70, 90% water. So I think we really have to be realistic about what skincare products are made up of. And so are there, quote, five harmful ingredients to really look for? I mean, most skincare products are not, you know, you're not going to drop over dead from them. They will slowly leach their ingredients into your body. And things you do want to look out for are what's in that water. Could be chemical sunscreens, could be some heavy metals in there. It could be certain oils that they use to create an emulsion, which is what most creams are made of, which is water and some sort of oily ingredient, which could be mineral oil, which is a petroleum product, or propylene glycol, also comes from the petroleum industry. I mean, some chemists consider that natural because it comes from oil. Crude oil is natural, isn't it? So I think in order to read the label, it's more than just searching for certain ingredients. I mean, that's part of it and a big part of it, and you're right to look for these ingredients. But it's also about looking at the marketing. How is the product making claims that it doesn't live up to? I mean, is it And what is it going to do for you? What are you trying to accomplish when you buy a product? Is it anti-aging? If so, what ingredients do we need to look for that are anti-aging? Because by law, most cosmetics and skincare products cannot say they actually structurally change how you look.
Yes, and you are bringing up a very good point. It's the one is the ingredients themselves, whether they are beneficial or harmful, but then also how does the product perform? And it's interesting. I just learned when we prepared for this show, water, as you mentioned, you know, of course, it's not necessarily in any way a harmful ingredient, and yet it does the opposite of what some people, what some products claim it would do. Sita, you were saying that if a product contains water and it's a moisturizer, it's the opposite effect. Right?
Right, exactly, because you need something with an oil content to help put a moisture barrier on your skin, because we actually lose a lot of moisture through evaporation. And if you have something that's mostly water-based, it's not going to give you that protection to prevent the evaporation of moisture from your skin. So something that has a high-quality oil in it, like coconut oil or any kind of oil from a plant-based substance.
Aloe vera.
Right, exactly. As opposed to what Sally is saying, which is something that's mineral oil-based or petroleum-based. I think that that's kind of, Mark, what you were talking about earlier, which is where it starts to feel heavy on your skin.
Mm-hmm. So what...
He agrees.
Yes, strongly. So what... Sally, what are the alternatives to those? If somebody was looking for a good product, what would they find? What are ingredients you actually want to look for?
Oh, well, that is what really makes me happy and what I, you know, spend all my day researching, because that is the whole world of plant-based ingredients that we have to pick from when we're, you know, natural product formulators. Because those are the ingredients that have a life force, as opposed to some of the other ingredients that I mentioned that I don't consider as having a life force. Ingredients such as propylene glycol or mineral oil, synthetic fragrance, even animal products do not have a life force. And those are the ingredients such as collagen, stearic acid, tallow. Those are ingredients that, as a natural formulator, I would steer away from.
Sally, can I interrupt you
sorry?
Just for a second? I was just wondering, what are some of these things? Propylene glycol. I've seen it 1,000 times. I have no idea what you're talking about. I have no idea what stearic acid is. I mean, what are some of these things?
And what do they do in products?
What do they do in products? I mean, why wouldn't I want those on my skin?
Right. Well, they are oily ingredients, you know, raw materials, let's say. Propylene glycol, you can think of propylene plastic. It's not plastic per se, but it comes out of cracking of petroleum crude oil, and they make a whole range of waxes and, you know, paraffin, for example, or propylene glycol. That comes from, you know, the oil industry. So, and again, as an activist consumer, I really don't want to give them any more money than I already have to, frankly, because they're not protecting the planet. I want to give my money to the organic farmers and the ingredient suppliers who are benefiting the planet by creating sustainable ingredients. You know, because let's say a propylene glycol or a mineral oil, it's not renewable the way an aloe, well, I shouldn't say aloe, I should say olive oil, is renewable. So it makes a big difference as smart shoppers in the organic and natural field that we'd want to make sure our products have the ingredients that are sustainable and renewable.
Well,
and
that brings...
one other thing. Mark wanted to know, what is stearic acid?
Yes, exactly.
Well, it says it's an acid, but it really isn't. It's like what they call a fatty acid. It's just, that's its chemistry to the layperson sounds odd. I don't want acid. Just like cetyl alcohol, which comes from coconut, sounds like it's alcohol, but it isn't. It's a fatty substance that comes from, it could come either from coconut, or it could come from animals, from the slaughterhouse. So stearic acid is one of those ingredients, like glycerin, which is slightly oily, which comes from either industry. It could come from the plant-based industry or slaughterhouse industry.
Yeah, and I think that they get clever with the way they explain it, like mineral oil, which you think, oh, minerals are good for me, so this must be good for me. It really requires a certain level of education, and it's so important that people take the opportunity to learn about these ingredients, because just like Helga was saying at the beginning of the show, our skin is our largest organ, and I hear this statistic pretty regularly that 60% of what we put on our skin ends up in our body. So it's almost like whatever you put on your skin, you practically are eating anyway. So
every
you
day
want,
over
yeah,
years.
Exactly. Think about the buildup.
Yes. Our topic today is the secret of healthy skin, peeling away layers of misinformation. Our guest, no less but Sally Malanga, the founder of Ecobella and somebody who has been in the trenches of the skincare industry and healthy cosmetics for many, many years. Sally, stay with us. We want to look and start from scratch after a quick break and start with what contributes to good skin. What is not just beyond, not just the product, beyond what we can do to it, but what, where does it all start? Again, this is An Organic Conversation. I'm Helga Helberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sitarani Palomar.
And we'll be right back with more. Stay tuned.
I've got you under my skin. I've got you deep in the heart of me. So deep in my heart that you're really a part of me. I've got you under my skin.
My name is Earl Herrick, and I am the owner of Earl's Organic Produce, a San Francisco Bay Area distributor fully committed to organic produce. From the time one could find organic fruits and vegetables only in natural food stores to now, when schools and fine restaurants feature organic, we have been forging relationships with growers for over 20 years. If you want to offer the finest organic produce to your employees or customers, find us at earlsorganic.com. That's earlsorganic.com.
Frey Vineyards is America's first organic winery, family-owned and operated since 1980. Dedicated to the highest levels of organic and biodynamic farming, Frey never adds synthetic sulfites or other preservatives to their wines. Frey organic and biodynamic wines include delicious Cabernet Sauvignon, Zinfandel, Syrah, Chardonnay, and Sauvignon Blanc. Frey Vineyards Mendocino County award-winning wines without added sulfites. Available at grocery stores and online at freywine.com. That's FREYWINE.com.
Do you have a passion for healing through healthful organic food? Become an expert in nutrition, the prevention of illness, and the promotion of optimal health. The Bowman College Distance Learning Program is a convenient, self-paced program that prepares you for a successful career as a nutrition consultant in your own home, on your own time, in a way that's organic to you. Start on your path to holistic health today with the Bowman College Distance Learning Program. Find out more at bowmancollege.org. That's B-A-U-M-A-N college.org.
The Farmer Veteran Coalition is a nonprofit organization dedicated to provide veterans with resources, education, and technical assistance to prepare them to become successful farmers. After serving their country, many veterans are interested in working with the land but do not have a background in farming or ranching. Help the Farmer Veteran Coalition to assist veterans in starting a new career in sustainable agriculture. For more information, please visit farmvetco.org. That's farmvetco.org.
And we are back here to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helga Helberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sitarani Palomar.
Our topic today is the secret of healthy skin, peeling away layers and layers of misinformation. Our guest is Sally Malanga, the founder of Ecobella and an expert in the skincare and natural cosmetic industry. We'll dive back into that interview in just a second, learning about what contributes to good skin to begin with, and then what to look out for in products in as alternatives to cetyl alcohol, stearic acid, tallow and many other ingredients that can be found in non-natural, non-organic products. But first, here's the weekly update of what's going on in the world of produce. Our very own Mark Mulcahy with What's in Season.
And what's in season today, we have Earl Herrick, the voice of the market from Earl's Organic Produce in San Francisco, on the line with us. But we're talking about something that Americans eat 8 pounds of this fruit every summer. That doesn't really sound like a lot to me when I consider how much I eat of these things. And we're talking about seedless grapes.
You know, Mark, I thought you were going to say 8 pounds a week.
No, but then again, there's a lot of Americans that don't eat fresh fruit, right? So, but yeah, when I heard 8 pounds, I thought, well, that's not
very
much.
Yeah, compared to other vegetables.
I think the four of us probably constitute most of it.
Yeah, that's right. Statistically speaking.
For the greater California
area. That's right. That's right.
And Earl is always in season, which is so great.
That's right. That's right. So, hey, Earl, we're talking about seedless grapes. What is going on out there? What's the year look like? How are the grapes doing?
Fantastic year. I mean, we couldn't even dial one, prescribe it, subscribe to anything better. Great temperatures. We're talking 100, 105, cool nights to develop wonderful color on the red, the green, and the back seedless grapes. You know, the real challenge on a grape is really 108 and above. So how often does that happen? So, you know, there's not a lot of challenges other than the real high temperatures, rain, of course, and cool. And this year, that is really, really minimized. So we're in one of the better grape seasons that we're going to see in quite a while.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And how long will that go for?
Well, you know, it really is very specific to orchard to orchard, but you know, there's been a lot of development and people finding the best places to grow. And there's a place down in Chandon, which is on the western slope of the San Joaquin, and they'll have grapes. If it doesn't rain too hard, they'll have grapes all the way to Christmas.
That's California,
really?
Right?
Yeah.
California. And, you know, we definitely grow and harvest the majority of the grapes in the country.
About 98% of the fresh grapes are grown in California.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. I thought, like, Oregon, at this point, all those states, you know, throughout coastal climates all have, no, not so much.
No, that's more of a wine grape.
Yeah.
You know, this is all what we refer to as table grapes. And that's what we're all used to eating, and also, you know, turning them into raisins. You know, I did want to mention one particular thing that we don't think about too often is that one of the main things a grower has to be concerned with is the development of a canopy on the vines. And what I mean by the canopy is the foliage that is on the vine, which is there to protect the grape berry as it grows, which will give it a certain amount of protection from the sun so it doesn't get sunburned. And if it does happen to rain a little bit, it protects it from that. Now, achieving the proper canopy is really important, because you don't want too much, because that's where all the nutrients go, and you don't want too little. So it's a matter of experience with pruning and the nutritional feeding of it.
Wow, very interesting.
Interesting. And when you said wine grapes and table grapes, we are talking table grapes, wine grapes, completely different species, rootstock, all that, right?
Well, yeah, definitely. All those things are different. And I can't really speak too much about the wine, what they're about. And around here, I don't want to say a word, because a lot of people know about it much more than I do.
Well, but the one thing you can say, Earl, is that a lot of the Thompson seedless grapes that people get in the stores right now are turned into raisins. That's a very, very famous grape for raisins.
It really is. And, there's kind of three main varieties of the white grape, if you will. And one of them is kind of pretty much no longer exists, and that's the Perlet. Remember that one, Mark?
I do. Really small little globes of bright greenness.
Exactly, and they were always the first variety. And then the Thompson, and that Thompson was developed for length and size. And a lot of people now have gone over to what's called the Sugar One, which is supposedly a little sweeter, and they're even making those a little bit bigger.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the three main varieties of green, and then there's many, many great varieties of red and just a couple varieties of black. But the flame grape is the one that most of us tend to be buying.
Yeah, it outsells green grapes about, you know, 4 or 5 to 1 in the stores.
Really? People prefer the red?
Yeah.
My favorite is the champagne, those tiny ones. Oh, so
yeah,
good. Yeah.
They're very good, and they're very hard to come by.
Yep.
You know, I just want to rattle off a couple varieties of red grapes, and that's a Flame, Crimson Seedless, Scarlet Royale, and the Ruby Seed. I guess I already said the Ruby Seedless. So those are more popular ones that you're going to see out there.
Cool.
Yeah, that's great.
Excellent.
Looking forward to it.
That's great, Earl. Well, thanks again. Thank you. Always a pleasure. Always a wealth of information. Appreciate you calling in from the market, and we will talk to you next week.
Have a great one.
And thanks,
you
Earl.
Too. Thanks,
enjoy
Earl.
That perfect grape year.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, it's been a grape year. So a couple quick things on grapes for everybody out there. Is a lot of people buy red grapes because they think they have, you know, antioxidants, and they do. But green grapes contain a significant amount of antioxidants too. So if you're looking for those antioxidants, another thing that when you're looking for grapes, you want firm, plump clusters that are securely attached to their stems. And the stems should be green. If the stems are brown, it means that the grapes are getting old, and then they will start. They'll have a lot more sugar in them, but they will break down faster, or they'll break off the stems. And then once harvested, grapes don't get any sweeter. So whatever the sweetness is that's in them, that's what you get. So it's always good to make sure you look for really good grapes that are plump and firm. And then another thing is that you can keep grapes in the refrigerator for about 3 or 4 days. And you can keep them out on the counter, but they'll ripen really fast if you do. Grapes are great served chilled if you want to enhance their natural crispness. And if you need to peel grapes because you want to serve someone that you care about a nice peeled grape, a quick and easy way to do it besides trying to do it with your fingers is put the frozen grapes under lukewarm water until the skin splits. So you stick them in the freezer, then pull them out, put them under warm water, and then when the skins split, you just slide the skins right off and pop them into your lover's mouth. That's what's in season.
Small little globes of green, light greenness. Oh my God. Yes. Yes, Mark. That's the weekly update from the world of produce. What's in season? Thanks, Mark. This is An Organic Conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sita Rani Palomar.
And our topic today is the secret of healthy skin, peeling away layers of misinformation. With us still, calling from West Orange, New Jersey, is Sally Malanga, the founder of Ecobella, an all-natural organic skincare company that was founded really as a reaction to products in the field. In the first half of the hour, we talked about the ingredients to avoid what to look out for. But really, Sally, when we talk about healthy skin, you know, there's a lot that products might not address, or the other way around, that people can do to start off with giving their skin a fair, healthy start, the best start they could give their skin. What are some of those things that directly contribute to healthy skin beyond a product?
Well, there's excellent, excellent practices that people should do if they really care about their skin. Let's think about the skin. It's so underappreciated as an organ. As you said, it's the largest organ. It serves as the backup system to detoxify your body from the intestines and the kidneys. So it's taking all that overflow. And what happens when it has to be called into action is that, you know, we get acne, we get dry skin, we get psoriasis, eczema, and a lot of that is related to our behavior and what we eat. So I like to say when the digestion is flowing, the skin is glowing. And if you remember that as your motto, you'll look for foods like my favorite, flaxseed and fibrous fruits and vegetables that will keep your digestion flowing. And also coconut oil, flax oils. To keep the cells of your skin nice and flexible and youthful. And in this way, they can send messages back and forth to each other to move nutrients in and out.
Vitamin C
is very important also.
Mm-hmm. So the diet, a clean diet, a nutrient-dense diet, a diet rich in fiber, that is, of course, what we ingest comes out through our skin to some degree. How about, you know, stress and the air that you are surrounding yourself with, the quality of air? I heard that all those things directly affect the health of the skin as well. Sita, is that correct?
Yes, it is. It's just like what Sally was saying, which is that our skin is an indicator of what the internal organs and the internal situation of the body is like. And it will be, I tend to think, the first indication that something's off. So if you have too many toxins in your body, you will know it by your skin. And so that's why all of those things will show up. Mark, you have a...
Well, and Helga, you've mentioned about the importance of healthy soil in plants, and that a plant that's distressed or diseased will often, you'll start seeing it in the leaves or in the plant, and that's what insects will go to first, right?
Yes, of course, exactly. It's the wrecking crew. And so, yes, the skin shows how healthy you are on the inside.
Actually, I want to go back to something that Sally was saying about good quality oils, coconut oil and flaxseed oil. I think that there's a misconception with the public that, you know, acne is caused by oil. And we can talk a little bit about that later. But so people might be shying away from oil because they think that that might be contributing to their acne. When in actuality, if you're eating really good quality oil, it's the exact opposite. Yes?
It's absolutely true. I think it's what's causing acne. I think, you know, the big secret is that's really causing a lot of skincare problems, and that is eating meat and drinking milk and eating ice cream. So it's a lot of pizza, which is a typical diet of a teenager. And so they're plagued with acne, not to mention their hormonal issues that, you know, are occurring at the same time, but having this kind of food supply that's high in saturated fat, that's hard to digest, that, you know, the intestines can't process, means the skin is just becomes a disaster.
Yeah, well, and there
so
the hormone
problem.
And the hormones in dairy, right? If we're talking about acne being sometimes caused by a hormonal imbalance, and we've noticed that young girls are getting their menstrual cycles way earlier because of the amount of hormones that are in the dairy that they're eating, that's certainly an implication. And I think that, you know, when people look at what happens on the topical level for acne, what they're seeing is that, you know, we produce oil in our skins, and if you have an excess production of oil that's coming through your pores, and then you have bacteria on your skin surface in the pores, the oil and the bacteria will mix together, and that's how you get a breakout. That's how you get pimples and acne. And so people
right.
are oftentimes doing something topically to try and kill that bacteria to prevent the oil from overproducing, or they're taking some kind of oral supplement that will suppress the production of oil, when what they should be doing is looking at why their organs aren't functioning to detox whatever it is that's in their body, whether it's a stressful environment, they don't get enough water, they're not exercising, their digestion isn't moving correctly, whatever it is, that's really how you're going to treat the cause and not the symptom.
Yes, maybe unwanted, but definitely a great indicator that something is out of balance. And you just mentioned, both of you, Sally and Sita, mentioned the top three or five, hydration, fresh air, enough sleep, a clean diet with lots of fiber, and exercise, because Sally, you were saying that as the one of the most important organs and part of our immune system in the body, it's not just an indicator, but it's also where toxins are getting fleshed out. Other than through digestion, really important to exercise and help the body to eliminate toxins that might be in the body. Yes?
Right. That's absolutely correct. So anytime you sweat, you are detoxing yourself. And that's why those infrared saunas are fantastic for having beautiful skin. But, you know, what I also want to mention, you know, exercising outdoors is great, but baking in the sun is not. And really one of the number one reason for skin aging, wrinkling and age spots and so on is what they call photo aging, which is, you know, the infrared rays of the sun hitting us and people laying on the beach and not really paying attention to how long they're out in the sun. And recently I've discovered, you know, more and more that these sunscreens that are put into commercial products are hazardous. And it turns out that you cannot really slather yourself, just as Mark said in the beginning. He doesn't like putting all this all over his body, and I don't blame him. I don't either. To put all these chemical sunscreens all over your body and then think you can, you know, go out and bake on the beach, you can't do it. And you're actually causing a toxic situation in your body. 97% of people now have benzophenones in their blood supply, which means if you three and me are not in the, not 3%. That means we also have it in our bodies because it seems to be ubiquitous. And it is a chemical that we have to be aware of. And that benzophenone is one of the most popular sunblocks.
Yeah, you mentioned cetyl alcohol and stearic acid in the first half of the hour. The question that we didn't get to that Sita wanted to ask, of course.
Yeah, I think this is a perfect segue because you're talking about the health of the skin outdoors. You're talking about things that contribute to aging. And we see a lot of, you know, mainstream products at the drugstore that claim they're addressing these things. But as we've just discovered, if you're putting toxic products on your body, you're actually contributing to a more, you know, sensitive topical reaction. So what are the alternatives to the things that we see in traditional products? And can they achieve similar results?
Well, I think many commercial products are terrible. They don't give any results. And the only way they sell those products is by doing very expensive advertising campaigns, you know, using celebrities or airbrush models and giving, you know, false promise that these products are going to work. Because as we said, they can't, by law, say that the product will actually physically change you. So what can we do as people who are knowledgeable in the field of natural ingredients? Because I really think that those have the most promise of all. And as far as, you know, what we're looking at, what I've discovered as an avid researcher and formulator are the antioxidants, the deeply pigmented, my favorite. I love my parents, I love my husband, I love your show, but I am madly in love with the carotenoids.
That's okay.
Are they your next door neighbors?
Yes, they are, actually. They are.
All right. Okay, Mr. Produce Guy. Carrot. You know, I guess someone decided anything that relates to a carrot, they're going to call it a carotenoid. And just the way you opened your show with the lobster, one of my favorite examples of the use of carotenoids in nature, because one of the most powerful ones comes from sea algae, which is called astaxanthin, and it is a luxurious rich red. And you can see it working in nature in a lobster because, unfortunately, when you cook them, their shell turns bright red. And that is the astaxanthin actually protecting the lobster as it is, you know, swimming around in the ocean. The same is true for flamingo. They're pink because they're eating a lot of sea algae, and they're turning pink. But that is protecting them from the environment, from the ultraviolet rays that are constantly bombarding them as they stay outside. And the same happens for we human beings. If we eat a lot of carrots, our skin turns orange. You know, your mother warned you of that, right? And while we don't have to eat that many to turn orange, what I've discovered is that these carotenoids, which come from carrots, beta-carotene, astaxanthin I mentioned, lutein from marigold, and lycopene, that very rich red from tomatoes, we can incorporate into skincare products, which we do, and we actually encapsulate them. So even though our products are yellow, you can see that that's the color of the carotenoids in the product, but they're encapsulated into what we call liposomes or vitamin cells. So all these very precious antioxidants, which if you just threw them into a bottle, would evaporate every time. They would degrade every time you used it. Because they're protected in these spheres that are so tiny, they only leap to action when you actually go to use them on your skin, which is, I think, the best way to create and use these very important ingredients, which will help someone with their anti-aging, help someone with acne, or just generally keep the skin really, really healthy.
Yes, nature, again, truly brilliant. We had grapes, table grapes, and Mark's What's in Season segment just a few minutes ago. And, of course, grapeseed oil, grapefruit seed extract, those are all completely natural ingredients, maybe a little bit more expensive, but not necessarily making a more expensive end product in the case of your company, Sally Ecobella. And we want to actually hear more about the ingredients that you're using and that one should look out for both in cosmetic products as well as skincare. You're listening to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helge Helberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sitarani Palomar.
With us still, industry expert Sally Malanga, who founded Ecobella in 1992 out of protest to the use of animal ingredients and animal testing in personal care products, creating one of the cleanest and absolutely best working product lines for skincare and cosmetics. Currently available, ecobella.com. Sally, stay with us. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with more.
Fry Vineyards is America's first organic winery, family-owned and operated since 1980. Dedicated to the highest levels of organic and biodynamic farming, Fry never adds synthetic sulfites or other preservatives to their wines. Fry organic and biodynamic wines include delicious Cabernet Sauvignon, Zinfandel, Syrah, Chardonnay, and Sauvignon Blanc. Fry Vineyards Mendocino County award-winning wines without added sulfites. Available at grocery stores and online at frywine.com. That's FREYWINE.com.
Produce is ever-changing, seasons coming and going. At Earls Organic, we have been sourcing solely organic produce for over 20 years. Since 1988, Earls Organic Produce has been establishing strong relationships with growers and developing a deep understanding of the seasons, so you can offer the most delicious organic produce to your customers, staff, and clients year-round. For organic produce, visit Earls Organic Produce at earlsorganic.com. That's earlsorganic.com.
Are you interested in making healthy food your profession? Bowman College is a leader in the field of holistic nutrition and culinary arts. Their professional training programs prepare individuals for successful careers as nutrition consultants and natural chefs. Study at one of four locations in California and Colorado, or learn from home in a self-paced mentor distance learning program. Find out more about their classes on holistic nutrition and culinary arts at BowmanCollege.org. That's B-A-U-M-A-N College.org.
Do you feel run down, stressed, overweight, or overloaded? Urban Remedy is a delicious 100% organic juice cleansing program designed to jumpstart your body's natural healing and cleansing abilities. This delicious juice feast, created by leading acupuncturist Nika Pasquale, is rich in vital nutrients, minerals, and enzymes, providing you with all the nutritional nourishment you need to thrive. Delivered directly to your doorstep. Urban Remedy, a convenient way to boost your energy and balance your body. Place your order today at urbanremedy.com. That's urbanremedy.com. The Farmer Veteran Coalition is a nonprofit organization dedicated to provide veterans with resources, education, and technical assistance to prepare them to become successful farmers. After serving their country, many veterans are interested in working with the land but do not have a background in farming or ranching. Help the Farmer Veteran Coalition to assist veterans in starting a new career in sustainable agriculture. For more information, please visit farmvetco.org. That's farmvetco.org.
And we are back here to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helge Helberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sitarani Palomar.
Our topic today is the secret of healthy skin, peeling away layers of misinformation, with industry expert and the founder of a wonderful skincare company, Ecobella, Sally Malanga, who's joining us today from the Jersey Shore. Before we dive back into that interview, though, here is our very own Chef Sita, Sitarani Palomar, with her holistic bite.
Well, thank you, Helga. Last year, when we had grapes on our What's in Season segment, I confessed that they were my favorite fruit, which I think is a pretty bold statement to make. But they really are, because I think they're so easy to enjoy. They come with next to no waste, and they're already bite-sized, and they don't get your fingers messy. So in that respect, they're a little bit like nature's candy. So many of us have a pretty extreme sweet tooth in this country, and we need a certain amount of sweet in our day to satiate. And if you're trying to be careful with your sugar consumption, I think grapes are the way to go, because, you know, we could stand to eat quite a bit less sugar, particularly refined sugar. The average American adult eats about, and this is a conservative number, they eat about a half cup of added sugar every day, every single day, which is extremely concerning because excess sugar, it, we know, is a culprit in things like diabetes and cancer, not to mention poor sleep and weight gain and poor skin. I mean, for me, I can actually measure my skin's response to sugar. I'll break out within a couple of hours. It's pretty extreme. And, you know, that could be as a result of not detoxing enough, but that still isn't a reason to just go on a sugar binge. So if I'm trying to reduce my consumption of sugar, especially in the summertime, or as we learned during the What's in Season segment, through December, if they're having an exceptionally great year, I love my grapes as an alternative to eating candy or chocolate or whatever that happens to be. So one of my favorite ways to make sure that I can get that fix that I'm looking for instead of reaching for something that's processed and packaged is when I get home, I will actually take the grapes off of their stems, rinse them, put them in a bowl, and keep them chilled in my refrigerator. That way, if I want a handful of something sweet, I don't have to feel like there's a lot of effort to go to as opposed to just opening something. So that's my tip for you if you're looking to curb that sugar consumption and get down from a half a cup a day to something a little bit more reasonable, like a tablespoon or so, then go for grapes. That's your Holistic Bite.
And Sita's Holistic Bite is brought to you always by natural beauty company Ecobella, offering natural and organic skincare and intelligent cosmetics that are made without compromises and are always preservative-free, gluten-free, and cruelty-free. For more information, mybeautybite.com. That's mybeautybite.com. For our listeners only. And with us in this hour in which we are exploring healthy skin and shed light on the natural skincare and cosmetic industry is the founder of Ecobella, Sally Malanga, who's joining us from West Orange, New Jersey today. And Sally, we talked about skincare, lotion, hair shampoo, lipsticks. Everything will get absorbed to some degree in your body. The skin, the largest organ, a great indicator of internal health, lots of things that we can do, from proper hydration, drinking enough water, clean water, fresh air, sleep, a clean diet with lots of fiber that you mentioned, exercise to help the body detoxify, and maybe using an exfoliant, to healthy natural ingredients. And we noticed that Ecobella has the word organic on its products, and it's an interesting and confusing industry where it's not really regulated. There are no real standard, like for example in food production, where people can pretty much put on their product labels in the non-natural world any claim they would like to. Can you shed light on that?
Yes, it's been very confusing because the USDA organic standards are set up for food. Now, skincare is kind of a mixed bag because it has ingredients in it that you could eat, such as the oils or aloe vera, but it also has ingredients that you wouldn't want to eat, you know, some of the emulsifiers, for example, or maybe preservatives. So essentially, we are following the USDA standards wherever we can find the ingredients that meet it. Now, to be USDA organic skincare, you have to have 95% organic ingredients. And that's really hard to do because, for example, we have one product like that, and it is a beautiful product. It is organic jojoba, which is the gold of the desert. It's such a beautiful oil, and it's got some essential oils in it, and it's quite simple. There's no emulsifiers, no preservatives are needed because there's no water in it, so that is very easy to meet the organic standard if one chooses, which we do. Other products, if they are 70% at least, they can have the label state made with organic ingredients, which is the same standard that applies to any kind of
food added, processed food,
right? Yes, so yes, it's the same thing. So many of our skincare products are 50 to 70% organic because we will always source
organic aloe instead of water, for example. We believe that you can drink all the water you need. We don't need to sell you water in our products, but we do want you to have organic aloe vera. It is one of the best skincare ingredients since about 3,000 years ago, and it comes organic. Perfect.
How many years? How many years has it been?
3,000 years.
All right, yeah, 3,000 years. So, but when we come to products like heavy metals, we mentioned plastics that are absolutely used, talc, gluten, dyes, preservatives, animal products, synthetic colors. Who is overseeing the skincare industry?
It's pretty much self-regulated. I mean, the government, the FDA that regulates cosmetics simply states you can't put anything that's unsafe, you know, in your products. But who's to say what's unsafe? I mean, there's an epidemic of cancer, but you can't tie it back to necessarily any specific ingredients. But, you know, we in the natural industry, we want to play it totally safe, so we tend to shy away from those ingredients. I can't speak for every brand that's in the health food store, honestly, because, you know, you still have to go by price. And that is, you know, most of the brands still, you know, are basically water, some emulsifiers, some herbs. And, you know, again, reading the label from top to bottom tells you the highest percentage of ingredients, the highest concentration, rather, is the first ingredient. That's usually water. If you see a whole bunch of herbs there, that's usually greenwashing, which is really unethical, which means they mix some herbs in. They make teas out of the water so that they list the herbs second, third, fourth, that sort of thing. But you mentioned heavy metals. You won't see that on a label per se. For example, I'm looking online here at a premium beauty balm product that's on a major website here, and the first ingredient is water, and the second ingredient, I really almost can't pronounce, cyclopentasiloxane. And that's some sort of silicone derivative. Again, to me, it's a lifeless oil. I prefer oils that have a life force, such as safflower, sunflower, coconut. The next ingredient here, phenyltrimethicone, PEG-10-dimethicone, dipropylene glycol. This product is selling for almost $40 an ounce, and it is just loaded with all kinds of synthetic oils and petroleum ingredients. It's got about 5 preservatives in it, and, you know, this is not what we do, and it's not what I want people to put on their skin.
Yes, and there's great information on your website, ecobella.com, if people want to learn more about ingredients and even some videos that feature you that explains the basics of skincare and cosmetics. Ecobella has both skincare and a whole cosmetic line. It's a confusing world. Thank you so much for joining us today and for helping to decipher labels and what people should look out for. Quite astonishing, honestly, for I'm really, you know, focused on the world of food, and I thought I can navigate my world through skincare, but I will now even more pay attention to what I put, even, you know, toothpaste in my mouth, on my skin, and my hair. Thank you so much, Sally, for your work, and we'll have you back to dive into this topic even deeper. Thank you so much for joining us today.
You're very welcome, and I just want to let you know, you always have my activist eyes looking out for everybody with these ingredients and these topics.
Great.
Thank you. Thank you. So informative.
Yes,
thanks so much,
Sally. She's a forerunner in this movement. Sally Malanga of Ecobella. Wonderful.
And that was this week's edition of An Organic Conversation.
An Organic Conversation is a production of the Organic Media Network. Associate producers Kristen Ponger, studio engineer Robert Costa, news services Jen Lloyd, underwriting production Mark Van Gelder. Thank you all.
If you missed parts of this show or for any other episode, visit iTunes or anorganicconversation.com.
And you can join us at facebook.com/anorganicconversation or send us your comments and questions to share at anorganicconversation.com. We are your hosts, Helge Hellberg,
Mark Mulcahy,
and Sitarani Palomar.
And we'll be back right here, same place, same time next week. See you then.
Bye-bye now.
Bye.